find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Once again, Wisconsin finds itself under an air quality advisory. Brittany Merlot reports.
An air quality advisory for ozone has been issued and is active now until Friday night for the entire state of Wisconsin. Due to excess heat and sunlight, combined with the presence of aged Canadian wildfire smoke, it has led to enhanced surface ozone. Peak concentrations usually occur during afternoon hours, when sunlight is most intense. When inhaled, it reacts chemically with many biological molecules in the respiratory tract, leading to a number of health effects. It is currently at an unhealthy for sensitive groups level, with potential spikes into unhealthy for all levels. Reduce your time outdoors and consider avoiding intense outdoor workouts. The ozone layer usually sits approximately 6 to 30 miles above the Earth's surface, but when brought to the ground, it poses hazards and makes the sky appear hazy. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A bill to make phonics a new model for teaching reading to third graders in Wisconsin is moving forward after passing the assembly this afternoon. Students who don't pass a reading test would have to take it again. Republican Amanda Nedweski represents Pleasant Prairie.
Simply pushing students forward who have not achieved proficiency has proven to set kids up for failure in later life. A student who cannot read in third grade is more likely to drop out of high school. A high school dropout is more likely to become incarcerated or become dependent on state assistance.
The bill now goes to the Senate. Democrats say the bill doesn't serve all kids well. Governor Evers vetoed a similar bill last year, and he says he'd veto this one. The Assembly is also sending a bill to the Senate to let pharmacists prescribe birth control. Also tonight, the lower house is expected to vote on a bill to move technical colleges from the property tax to the state budget and another bill to overhaul regulations for Wisconsin's alcohol industry. Both major political parties plan to go after young voters next year. Luke Mathers reports.
Young voters have been breaking turnout records in recent elections. Jake Williams is with College Democrats of Wisconsin. He says that's because young voters are paying attention to what older officials are doing.
Whether we're talking about environmental pollution, whether we're talking about healthcare rights or human rights, regarding trans rights, youth are seeing kind of an assault across the board.
Lane Witten of the Wisconsin Federation of College Republicans says they can't be ignored.
Soon the 18 to 29 will outnumber the higher voter demographic.
Williams and Witten spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
A second teenager is detained after Monday's mass shooting at Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration. One is 17, the other 19. Prosecutors aren't saying anything yet about criminal charges. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wildfire danger remains high for northern and southwestern Wisconsin this week. The DNR says that this year's fire season is outpacing last year's so far, thanks in part to the ongoing drought as well as dry and hot weather. In addition to the wildfire risk, the entire state is under an air quality advisory through Friday night due to unhealthy levels of ozone. The National Weather Service says conditions will stay hot and dry for at least a few more days. Roads used for agriculture in Wisconsin will see increased funding from the state. Today, Governor Tony Evers signed Senate Bill 247 into law, which will create the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. Wisconsin Act 13 will support roads that wouldn't otherwise likely be targeted for state aid, such as roadways frequently used for farm operations. The bipartisan bill was authored by State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green and had near unanimous support from the legislature and from various state associations. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers lose the series to the Diamondbacks. Good afternoon from American Family Field. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Diamondbacks started out with a pitcher's duel, but Arizona moved runners around with stolen bases, RBIs, and went on to win 5-1 over the crew. Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
We scored one run, so we got to do better than that. So offensively, Gallen's a good pitcher. The ball was in play pretty good today, but we didn't square enough up and didn't create any traffic throughout the day.
Four scoreless innings pitched by the Brewers' Julio Teheran against Arizona's Zach Gallen. Then the Brewers' Ramel Tapia, signed last week from Boston, hit a deep solo home run shot that landed just to the right of the center field scoreboard and put the crew on top 1-0 in the fifth. But Milwaukee failed to score again. Diamondbacks manager Tori Lavallu.
This was a hard-fought victory. You look at the box score at the end of the game, and We went 5-1. There was a lot of hits and a lot of runners left on base, and we had to grind. We had to really grind. I think this team dug down into their reserve a little bit today and found a way to win a baseball game. It was a good feeling.
So the Crew has tomorrow off as they head to Cleveland for a weekend series against the Guardians Friday night. The Reds remain in first place. They won their 11th in a row today in Cincinnati with a 5-3 win over the Rockies. Earlier, the Cubs moved into third place behind Milwaukee with an 8-3 win over the Pirates in Pittsburgh. The NBA draft is tomorrow night. Milwaukee with just the final pick in the second round. New head coach Adrian Griffin on the depth of the Bucks roster.
One of the things that we spoke about in our first interview is, look, the foundation has already been laid. It's a strong culture. We have special talent on this team. So this wasn't something where I was coming in to uproot everything. Actually, it was just to build. You know, and I think with my 25 years of experience in the NBA, I can add great value, you know, to the team, you know, build upon from day one.
That's the Bucks' new head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on the show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. First day of summer, whopper of a Wednesday, happy hour. Welcome to it, little buddy.
Happy summer solstice, Crudy. Great to be with you this happy hour. Evan, working the board, our audience, join us. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I can't wait. I'm chomping at the bit to get to the ethical improprieties of Justice Samuel Alito. But I feel like if we don't start with the Durham, we're going to get chastised by our conservative friends. I mean, live testimony. This ProPublica report can wait for a little bit longer. I mean, hell, Alito already got out there and preempted it with a op-ed to a rival news outlet.
Isn't that how all U.S. Supreme Court's justices react to criticism to coming down the pike to what? An op-ed? Not a press release from your office? Justice?
How about a response to the journalist, which he did not do either? He preemptively published an op-ed. But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Let's, and I can't believe we're letting the conservatives dictate how we start hour number two, Dom. But let's get to it. The Durham.
No. We're deciding this.
We are.
We can do whatever we want. We don't bend under pressure. But I think we should put this thing to bed.
Well, okay. So John Durham, who was appointed while Trump was the president, right?
Yes.
Under Bill Barr, a special counsel appointed. And he's been working for 4 freaking years.
4 years.
And he's investigating the genesis of the Russian investigation. And if we've accurately reported here on the show, and I know we have, Dom, one kind of conviction. One guy pled out. He went to court two other times.
And that was articulated today. That guy that pled out was actually found by Inspector General Horowitz. That was handed to Durham. Durham got one handed to him where the guy pled and lost 2 cases.
What great findings. So other than that, other than the actual, you know, outcome, the output of the work product, right? I don't mean his opinion on a piece of paper. I mean the convictions in a court of law, supported by evidence. Where are those? I'd like to hear him testify about his utter failure and preposterous report, Dom. And, you know, depending on what side of the congressional aisle, I think they had differing opinions of the testimony of Durham. But as mentioned in hour number one, Dom, there are a lot of the House impeachment managers in the room. People like, you know, Nadler and Adam Schiff. And let's start with Adam Schiff. He asked a series of questions, right? Question the witness, the Durham. And Adam Schiff, this is a guy that's faced a little pressure from across the aisle. And what was the accusation against Schiff? He weaponized the Congress effectively against Donald Trump and put out false premise that Trump was somehow colluding with Russia. And of course, that's all been disproven, or so they say.
So they say. They say lots of things, those they people.
Well, Fox News, as mentioned, is reporting the exact opposite of the truth right now about what Durham has actually testified to. So let's start with Adam Schiff. Didn't Donald Trump plead for Russian help? I kind of remember that. Play cut number one, if you would, Ebone.
I thank you for yielding. One of my colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle took issue with my saying that the Trump campaign invited Russian help, received Russian help, made use of it, and then lied about it. So let's break this down. Let's go to invited Russian help. Mr. Durham, you're aware of Donald Trump's public statements along the lines of, hey, Russia, if you're listening, hack Hillary's emails, you'll be richly rewarded by the press. You aware of that?
I'm aware of that.
And are you aware that Mueller found that hours after he made that plea for Russian help, the Russians, in fact, tried to hack one of the email servers affiliated with the Clinton campaign or family?
If that happened, I'm not aware of that. I mean, it could very well.
You're not aware of that in the Mueller report? So when you say you're not aware of evidence of collusion in the Mueller report, it's because you apparently haven't read the Mueller report very well.
If you're not aware
of that fact. But let me ask you about something else.
Sure.
Don Jr., when offered dirt as part of what was described as a Russian government effort to help the Trump campaign, said, if it's what you say, I love it.
I love it.
Would you call that an invitation to get Russian help with dirt on Hillary Clinton?
The words speak for themselves, I suppose.
I think they do.
I think they do.
He said, especially late in summer. Late in summer was around when the Russians started to dump the stolen emails, wasn't it?
Late in the summer, there was information that was disclosed by WikiLeaks
around the time of the DNC, late July.
June, and then there was maybe some later in October, was it? I think. But don't hold me to those dates.
Well, if I can't hold you to dates and facts, Durham, what was the whole last 4 years for? Didn't you do your homework? Didn't you, you know, sort of study the notes before you showed up for the hearing? Or were you hoping to cast in a different direction? Let's hear more from Adam Schiff. I like how this is starting. Cut number two from the California congressman.
And this gets to the receipt of help. Second thing I mentioned, receiving Russian help. The dumping of those emails, by the way, just as forecast by what Papadopoulos told the Australian diplomat, that is that the Russians would help by leaking dirt anonymously through cutouts like WikiLeaks and DC leaks.
I don't think that's exactly what he told the Australians.
Well, he said that he was informed that the Russians could help by anonymously releasing this information, right?
Release what?
By anonymously releasing information damaging to Hillary Clinton, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you read what's in the cable and what's in the report, is that what the diplomats reported was there was a suggestion of a suggestion that the Russians could help. They had damaging information as to Mrs. Clinton. And
by
they were
releasing
like,
well,
Trump getting boasted,
right? And that's exactly what happened, isn't it?
I don't know.
You really don't know?
I'm not sure exactly. When you say
really,
exactly
really don't
what
know?
Happened,
well, the Russians released stolen emails through cutouts, did they not?
There were emails.
It's a very simple question. Did they release information?
Did they release the emails or not, Durham?
Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You really don't know the answer to that? The answer is yes, they did. Through DC leaks.
Well, in your mind, it's yes.
Well,
in your mind.
Mueller's answer was yes. More important than mine, Mueller's answer was yes.
In your mind, it's yes, Durham says. Oh, but Mueller said yes. Read the report, man. Mueller said yes.
Does this sound like a nonpartisan talking about, I mean, Adam Schiff is there not only defending his own reputation, but also the facts of the impeachment of Donald Trump, et cetera, et cetera. And Durham sitting there as the investigator, as the special counselor. Why is he so befuddled by these questions?
Well, he's,
why is he not giving clear answers if it is indeed his directive to be nonpartisan,
his
to
scope.
Follow his scope. The facts?
His scope is to investigate the genesis of apparently the unjustified investigation into Donald Trump, his campaign, his cohorts, and the Russians, right? That's his scope. That's what he's supposed to get to, right? And he didn't read the Mueller report. He doesn't know at least the facts that came out of the Mueller report. Well, of course he does.
He only had 4 years, Dom. He only had 4 years, you know?
Oh, man, if I had four more, I really would have got to it. I don't know if you know this, Crudy, but I'm really busy. I've been really busy. I need to get my pants out of the boxes and my golf stuff. Very busy man I am. Let's get back. Adam Schiff, today, just two more cuts from him and some other cuts as well coming up. Let's play cut number three, if you would, please, Evan.
Now, that information, of course, was helpful to the Trump campaign, wasn't it?
I don't think there's any question, but that the Russians intruded into, into the systems. They released information.
And that was helpful to the Trump campaign, right?
And the conclusion in the ICA and in the Mueller investigation was that the Russians intended to assist.
Can you answer Trump? My question, Mr. Durham? That was helpful to the Trump campaign, right?
Yeah, that's...
And Trump made use of that, as I said, didn't he, by touting those stolen documents on the campaign trail over 100 times?
I don't really read the newspapers or listen to the news.
Mr. Durham, were you totally oblivious to Donald Trump's use of the stolen emails on the campaign trail more than 100 times? Did that escape your attention?
I am not aware of that.
Wow, what a credible special counselor. I don't read newspapers or anything else. I don't actually investigate anything.
Is he under oath? I think he's under oath. Like, it's hard for me to believe that he didn't know these things.
Seems all squirmy, almost like he's a defendant in this, not the special counselor with the authority to prosecute. Should he actually present evidence of any prosecutable offenses and gain conviction at trial? One more from Adam Schiff. The Trump campaign, they covered it up. Cut four.
Are you aware of the final prong that I mentioned, that he lied about it, that the Trump campaign covered it up? It's the whole second volume of the Mueller report. I hope you're familiar with that.
Yeah, that's a section of the report, the second volume relating to what their obstruction of justice.
Well, thank you for confirming what my Republican colleague attacked me about. Now, he also criticized the use of the word collusion, apparently giving private polling data to the Russians while the Russians are helping your campaign. They don't want to call collusion. Maybe there's a better name for it. Maybe they would prefer we just call it good old-fashioned GOP cheating with the enemy. Maybe that would be a little bit more accurate description.
Yeah.
Because this is what happened. Yeah. But they seem allergic to calling it for what it is. I yield back.
Old-fashioned cheating with enemies. Call it what you want. That stuff happened. You just heard Durham say, and we got more of this coming up, so we can reinforce what went down.
But the Republican Party wants to, throw Adam Schiff out of the chambers for the very facts that he had the special counselor confirm under oath in a congressional hearing today. And that is what they have proposed, is the very rationale to throw Adam Schiff out. Were it not for 20 reasonable Republicans, meaning 90% of the Republicans were ready to throw him out. It was only 10% that said, slow down. Never slow down. Stick around. Devil's Advocates, your calls could be next. I see you, CJ. 844-96-PARTY.
Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 93.5 The Tap listeners, Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing city fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 60s. Hazy sunshine and hot again tomorrow, near 90 and a little more humid. A mix of sun and clouds and highs in the upper 80s and humid on Friday, some storms possible late. A better chance for showers and storms coming up this weekend. Currently, it's 87.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else. The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. Be patient. We have a little more Durham sound we want to get out there for you folks. Durham testifying today, I believe, was the House Oversight Committee.
Is that what he was doing? Because that was a pretty weak effort.
It's pretty weak.
If your goal is to just answer truthfully and honestly and present facts to the American people, why are you so evasive in the way you're answering the questions, Durham? Those weren't straightforward answers. I mean, you should be able to take the peppering from both sides of the aisle, right? You're an experienced former U.S. attorney, special counselor. You were appointed by the attorney general to get to the bottom of the facts, and you barely know what's in the Mueller report. You don't read the newspaper. What would you say you did around here?
Spend a bunch of money, spend like 4 years, and bounce around the country, man. Jerry Nadler also engaging. We have one cut from him. Let's jump down to cut number 7, if you would please, Evan.
Our report should not be read to suggest in any way that Russian election interference was not a significant threat. It was.
That was Durham. That was cut number 5, I believe. That was Durham.
Okay, fair enough. But let me check that back. Okay, so now that we'll come up on 7. But play 5 again. This is Durham. I think it's worth at least playing twice. So thank you, Evan. Let's do cut number 5 again.
Our report should not be read to suggest in any way that Russian election interference was not a significant threat. It was.
Oh, okay. Let's do one more. Cut 6. We'll stay on Durham. Cut 6.
This is not an easy fix. I mean, it's going to take time to rebuild the public's confidence in the institution.
Mostly because guys like Durham and the Republican Party have been undermining the public's confidence. You know, the supposed law and order party sure as hell doesn't like when the law and order starts coming down against their Cheeto Messiah.
Here is Jerry Nadler and Durham. This exchange, cut 7, please.
You did not dispute that Trump ordered an influence campaign to influence the 2016 election in your report, did you?
As I said, it's a real Russian threat.
No. Okay. Special Counsel Mueller indicted 12 Russian intelligence officers in July 2018. Isn't that right?
Correct.
The 12 intelligence officers were indicted for attacking the Clinton campaign.
That must be the end of the cut. 844. And the answer is... yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
There are a lot more convictions than that. And I'd make a little note. They talked about Papadopoulos. A little local note. He served his time in Oxford State Federal Prison right here in Wisconsin.
He's Wisconsin famous.
844-967-2789. Well, CJ, we promised you coverage of Durham. What a nothing burger your guy laid out there.
Well, no, guys, you didn't cover it like you did the Mueller report, gavel to gavel. You're just pulling little snippets. I watched.
Okay, address the snippets. Address what everybody heard, CJ. Okay. You heard Durham say it. Talk about what Durham said.
So how about the fact that he proved that Mueller's $30 million, 2.5 year pencil neck censored, getting ready to throw it out of Congress?
Okay, lost me already, man, because all of the accusations against Adam Schiff were disputed by the testimony of your guy, John Durham. And in fact, Adam Schiff, if you listened and you were online, dude, I saw you. If you listened to the facts and the words that came out of his mouth, each of the point of contention that the Republicans have thrown at Adam Schiff were refuted by the testimony of John Durham. So, you know, do your homework, you moron. 844-967-2. Of course, he listened to it. He's not dumb. He's just blissfully trolling. 844-967-2789. Mark,
that's their religion now. They don't go to church on Sundays, Curdy. They troll for a living. That's what it's all about.
Hey, Mark,
from the second year up, welcome.
Sorry, man. Sorry to carry over that bad will from CJ.
Not a problem, brothers. I think what CJ is trying to maintain is that they never should have done the investigation in the first place. But CJ doesn't understand, when you get a clue that something's going on, on something like that, you get a little bit of evidence here, and your responsibility is to investigate what the hell is going on. I don't know a lot about the law enforcement community. I know a little bit. But when I was an auditor, you get a clue that something was untoward had happened during, say, the bidding process on a contract, you know, I had to investigate what was going, you know, if they actually followed through and followed state bidding law. I mean, there had one case where a public worker said, "Oh, we just split our contracts up between two. There's just two asphaltic pavement contractors in this community, so that's all we you know, bring into the process." Well, something like that makes me, you know, the old thing when I heard about the old corruption back in the Tammany Hall days. It's like,
right.
Go and crack open a phone book, and there's at least six asphalt pavement contractors in that community, and they didn't follow state bidding law. I mean, when you have a responsibility, as our FBI did, you hear rumors and allegations that something's going on here, you have a responsibility to actually open an investigation.
I agree with you, Mark, and I would say this to CJ and all those that say, well, there never should have been an investigation, you know, fruit of the poison tree and all those sort of legal mumbo-jumbo things, because you're not a lawyer, CJ, but here's what I would say. Sure, but we still know he did it. You know what I mean? Now the facts have come to light. Perhaps at trial, that's some evidence that could be suppressed and taken out and never considered by a jury. Hell, you might throw out the whole case. But guess what? The public record, in the Mueller report, in all the subsequent public reporting, CJ, these are facts at this point. Your guy acknowledged the facts. All this stuff that you just threw at Adam Schiff were all refuted by the testimony of the guy you told us to cover today. Now we're going to turn our attention to
thank you, CJ.
Yeah, thanks, CJ. Glad we got that nothing burger out there. Your guy failed miserably. He gave a Scott Walker-like performance, as you often do in the bedroom, I hear. But
certainly on the phones. 844.
I've been on the phones rhetorically.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. The search continues for a 5-person submersible in the North Atlantic. Horizon Maritime Services' Sean Leet says his company is helping.
We have to hold out hope. I think, as you're aware, there's still life support available on the submersible.
And we'll continue to hold out hope until the very end.
He spoke on CTV. It's been brutally hot in much of Texas for days, keeping ambulances busy, says MedStar Mobile Healthcare's Matt Zavatsky.
Our ambulances were specially designed for Texas heat. The ambulances actually have three different air conditioners on them, one just for the cab and two for the patient compartment.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell told the House Financial Services Committee today that the central bank will likely raise interest rates moderately through the end of this year.
The economy is facing headwinds from tighter credit conditions for households and businesses, which are likely to weigh on economic activity, hiring, and inflation.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll...
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Roads used for agriculture in Wisconsin will see increased funding from the state. Today, Governor Tony Evers signed Senate Bill 247 into law, which will create the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. Wisconsin Act 13 will support roads that wouldn't otherwise likely be targeted for state aid, such as roadways frequently used for farm operations. The bipartisan bill was authored by State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green and had near unanimous support for the legislature and various state associations. Tonight is the unofficial start of Country Fest in Kidat. The event, which began in 1947 north of the village, kicks off with select performances tonight for ticket holders, with the main events happening the next 3 days. It includes headliners John Party, Dan and Shay, and the Zac Brown Band. After recent updates to its facilities, a record crowd is expected this year after nearly 100,000 people attended a year ago. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing city fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through a whopper of a Wednesday happier happy hour. Get into the questionable ethics of Samuel Alito, Dom. This is the guy that authored the Dobbs decision. I've speculated aloud because I don't know the answer for sure, but I think he was the leaker of the Dobbs decision. I think he was trying to lock in the conservatives. I think he was trying to pressure them. So when he says, oh, you know, we'll never know, but I have my suspicions, I think he can look in the mirror and know for surezies. But that's just my speculation. Dom, here's some fine reporting. ProPublica did some fine reporting on Samuel Alito. And in fact, as fine journalists in ProPublica, this is the same group that did the reporting recently on Clarence Thomas and Jenny Thomas. And I would point out, they gave Alito an opportunity to answer questions for the piece they were going to publish. And they asked him to answer by Tuesday. Give him a timeline. You know, we're going to publication, but here are questions we would have for you, sir. And he preemptively ran off, didn't answer ProPublica's questions, but preemptively made a defense through the editorial pages of the Wall Street Journal. And we're going to pick it up, the Post coverage, sort of these rival networks providing differing coverage. ProPublica asked about Alito's travel. He replied in the Wall Street Journal. Question about an undisclosed fishing trip hosted by a GOP billionaire. The Supreme Court justice instead shared his rebuttal in a rival media outlet before the investigative journalist could publish their scoop. Robert Barnes, Paul Farhi at the Washington Post. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito Jr. took issue with questions raised by the investigative journalism outlet ProPublica about his travel in, with a politically active billionaire. And on Tuesday evening, he outlined his defense in an op-ed published by the Wall Street Journal. Yet Alito was responding to a news story that ProPublica hadn't yet published.
I mean, literally getting out in front of it.
Alito's journal column, bluntly headlined, ProPublica Misleads Its Readers, was an unusual public venture by a Supreme Court justice into the highly opinionated realm of newspaper editorial page. And it drew criticism late Tuesday for effectively leaking elements of ProPublica's still-in-progress journalism with the assistance of the journal's editorial page editors. Now, an editor's note at the top of Alito's column said ProPublica reporters Justin Elliott and Josh Kaplan had sent questions to Alito last week and asked for a response by Tuesday at noon. The editor's note doesn't mention that ProPublica hadn't yet published its story, nor does it mention that Alito did not provide his answers directly to ProPublica. That's the way it's normally done. If a journalist has the courtesy of offering you a prior response before publication, most people take the opportunity to, you know, put their statement out there. He went to a rival publication and wrote an op-ed. Now, a spokesperson for the Wall Street Journal, whose editorial page operates independently from its newsroom, didn't respond to the Post.
Yeah, they put something out ahead of time, too. I mean, they're part of it just as much as Alito.
Oh, they're much worse. I mean, they work in the industry. But anyways, ProPublica published its story on Alito just before midnight on Tuesday, about 5 hours after the journal published Alito's column, his pre-buttal, right? Sort of like Bill Barr did with the Mueller report.
Exactly.
The article details the conservative justice's relationship with billionaire hedge fund manager Paul Singer. And Dom, we've talked about that name enough. It's stuck in your head. Paul Singer was a Scott Walker backer. Remember when Scott Walker was running for president?
I sure do.
No, he was the belle of the ball there for a while. And there was a guy, Paul Singer, and he, what, owns the Washington Free Beacon. He started doing Oppo research.
Funder. Yes. Yes.
Oppo research. Purposefully looking for the dirt on Donald Trump and supposedly others, but started with Trump. Well, eventually, Wanker dropped out of the race really quickly, and Singer moved on to Marco Rubio, and then Rubio dropped out. And eventually, Singer just, you know, hedged his bets and said, I'm done. I'm done paying for this investigation.
Now, he engaged, if I recall, Crudy, Fusion GPS to do that research, correct?
He did. We've heard a lot about that. That was what? The precursor to the Steele report and the investigation that turned into what? The Mueller report. It all has ties back to Paul Singer. He funded this. Really, it was supposed to be for the benefit of candidate Scott Walker. But Walker was such a failure, and then Rubio after that, that Singer just got on the Trump bandwagon eventually. That's my memory of it. But back to this article, Dom. Now that you know who Paul Singer is, he went with billionaire hedge fund manager Paul Singer, including their trip to an Alaskan fishing resort in 2008. According to this story, the ProPublica story, Singer, whose hedge fund subsequently came before the court 10 times in cases involving business disputes 10 times before the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a lot of times for one corporate interest. But let me read on. He, you know, the litigant before the court 10 times, flew Alito to a resort on his private jet. A trip ProPublica reported would have cost Alito more than $100,000 each way if he had chartered the jet on his own. And Alito, who wrote the landmark Dobbs decision that he probably also leaked, Crudy speculates, but the author writes, the Dobbs decision that struck down federal abortion rights last year, well, Dom, he didn't list the trip on his financial disclosure forms, an omission that some ethics experts say could violate federal law. So the prebuttal is a legal defense prebuttal, theoretically, Dom. And the article...
Oh, go ahead.
Well, just a paragraph more. The article noted the role of the conservative judicial activist Leonard Leo in organizing the Alaska trip, you know, including Paul Singer, including your boy Samuel Alito. Okay, says, including Singer, to fly Alito to the lodge, the longtime head of the Federalist Society. Leo helped Alito win confirmation to the Supreme Court. And oh yeah, that Paul Singer guy, as well as the lodge's owners, well, they're major donors to the Federalist Society. Dom, the Federalist Society supplied Kavanaugh, supplied Amy Coney Barrett, supplied Gorsuch, supplied Alito. And who's the one that passed? RBG's buddy. We'll come back
yes,
to it.
That one. We'll think about it. I'll continue on. The story carried the bylines of Kaplan Elliott and a third ProPublica reporter, Alex Majerski, the same team that reported the Blockbuster store in April detailing years of luxury tips taken by Justice Clarence Thomas with his wife, Ginny, and paid for by billionaire Harlan Crow, who also paid for Thomas's grandnephew's private school tuition. But that's, you know, you regular poor people, you don't need to worry about any of that. Trust them. Trust them. As the Washington Post continues, those disclosures and others, the Post reported last month that Leo arranged for Ginny Thomas to be paid tens of thousands of dollars for consulting work just over a decade ago, specifying that her name be left off the billing paperwork, have led some Democrats in Congress to call for Clarence Thomas to resign and others to call for stricter ethics standards specific to the Supreme Court. Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr. has resisted congressional efforts on that front, but recently acknowledged the controversy. Is that what it is? Here's what Roberts said when accepting an award last month from the American Law Institute. Maybe you should take an award from the American Get Your Buddy on the Rich Guy's Plane and Go Party Institute. Here's what he said. I want to assure people that I'm committed to making certain that we as a court adhere to the highest standards of conduct. We are continuing to look at things we can do to give practical effect to that commitment. I don't know. How about when you're getting $100,000 plane rides each way, you tell people, especially when they come before your court 10 times?
Or maybe recuse. Wouldn't that be the actual ethical thing to do, recuse on those cases?
Recuse, but certainly.
It's not my understanding he did recuse. And go ahead, Don.
A little bit more here. The justices for years have been considering an ethics plan without being able to come to agreement. In his journal column, Alito accurately anticipated the thrust of ProPublica's not yet published article. Well, no doubt they gave you questions to answer for their article and you go write an op-ed? What? He denied he had a conflict in accepting Singer's hospitality or was obliged to disclose the 2008 trip. Neither charge is valid, the justice wrote preemptively. He asserted that Singer was merely an acquaintance with whom he spoke only fleetingly during the fishing trip and said he was not aware of Singer's connection to any subsequent court matter. Yes, I have known nothing. I know nothing. Alito said he accepted the offer of a seat on Singer's plane because it would otherwise have been unoccupied. Unoccupied! A commercial flight, he wrote, would have imposed costs on taxpayers who would have had to pay for the deputy U.S. marshals to provide security to Supreme Court justices to fly with him. I mean, Crudy, the seat was empty. Hey, take the car, Curdy. It's just sitting there anyway. No one's going to drive it. You may as well. In fact, here, take this bag of cash. I'm not using it. No one's using it. You just here. It's fine. I'm just a friend or a wannabe friend.
You know, the Supreme Court justice I couldn't recall, and normally it's you with the memory lapses.
Scalia.
It is Scalia because yes. We've had like five texters. We've got everything from Scalia to Fat Tony to Anton Scalia. Thank you. Many.
Thank you, people. Yes.
They've all got the new audience. App. They're texting yeah. us. It's much more convenient, my understanding. 844-967-2789. You go.
Just a bit more here. We'll get to the phones.
A smidge.
Alito also disputed ProPublica's apparent characterization of the fishing resort, calling it misleading. I stayed three nights in a modest one-room unit at the King Salmon Lodge, a comfortable but rustic facility, with home-style meals, he wrote, adding, I cannot recall if we were served wine, but if there was, it was certainly not wine that cost $1,000. He said he did not disclose the flight in his annual disclosure form because the rules at the time were vague. I followed what I understood to be standard practice.
You know, the suite at the King Salmon Lodge is $670 per night. That doesn't sound very modest to me.
Well, when you're rolling with billionaires, $600 a night is probably pretty modest.
$670 a night. A little modest. Shanty.
It wasn't, the wine wasn't $1,000. It may have been like $100, $500 bottle. It wasn't certainly worth $1,000.
You know, nothing to disclose about. You know, the other interesting part, Tom, both Alito and Thomas have sought extensions on their financial disclosures, which are just a skosh more thorough this year, or necessitate a skosh more thoroughness. So they need more time. I mean, I've extended on my taxes before, Dom, and I know Trump's been audited a lot, yeah, but this seems a little fishy to me.
Well, Crudy, that's not the only thing that makes those two similar. His defense was similar, as the Washington Post reports, to Thomas when ProPublica first reported his luxury trip. Early in my tenure, Thomas said, I saw guidance from my colleagues and others in the judiciary and was advised that this sort of personal hospitality from close personal friends who did not have business before the court was not reportable. Federal law mandates that top officials from the three branches of government, including the Supreme Court, file annual forms detailing their finances, outside incomes, and spouses' sources of income, with each branch determining its own reporting standards. Judges are prohibited from accepting guests from gifts from anyone with business before the court. And the dude, I mean, Singer and his organizations were before the court 10 times, but apparently Alito, he didn't know. I don't know nothing. Until recently, however, the judicial branch had not clearly defined an exception for gifts considered personal hospitality. That's some hospitality, man. I mean, we got some good friends in the audience and people take care of us, our sponsors, our friends, but man, don't ever give me a $100,000 plane ride.
Few loose joints.
That's even better.
They make you feel like $100? 844-967-2789. Your calls could be next. We'll be right back.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 60s. Hazy sunshine and hot again tomorrow, near 90 and a little more humid. A mix of sun and clouds and highs in the upper 80s and humid on Friday, some storms possible late. A better chance for showers and storms coming up this weekend. Currently, it's 87.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. Call us up 844-967-2789. Stick around, Maggie Dawn. The Maggie Dawn show coming up next.
You know, I've been doing my own investigative reporting.
Yeah.
I've been looking into the Alaska King Salmon Lodge. I was looking for the price point for a three-night stay. But first, you would have to find availability. I've been checking. I'm into November. You can't find a room from here to November.
I bet Paul Singer could get a room.
It's almost like you would have to know somebody. You know what I mean? It's almost like you'd have to have a friend on the inside. Like, it's kind of a big deal to stay there. The only price I saw represented was $673 per night. And you can't get a room from here to November. So this rustic little cabin is more like a rich guy's one room.
It's a modest one room.
Yeah, sort of like the Palace of Versailles, a modest little summer home. 844-967-2789. Jake from Milwaukee. Welcome, Jake.
Hey, Jake.
Hey. So I have a background in science, and I do a lot of analysis of numbers and just, you know, other things. And I think the scientific term for Alito is he's just a dick. I mean, you know, I would almost think
that sure
him
that's scientific. And,
that's more of an opinion assessment.
Okay. But but it's just like, I mean, him actually doing this frantic thing with the Washington Post, he just made it worse for himself. Because now that's like entertainment value kind of stuff. So it's just going to go longer. I just, you know, love how they do this stuff to themselves.
But Jake, given an opportunity, if someone was going to trash me in the paper, and I'm probably guilty of failing to make disclosure and perhaps even breaking federal law, and they ask me some questions, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't like the tone of this. If I could run out and preemptively chop that story off at the knees, scoop, take some of the wind out of the sails, the shareability by telling them, well, this is a false report before it published, let's say a la Bill Barr. I mean, Jake, this was masterful on Alito's part, but, you know, the ethics
so
of, well,
actually,
it's...
I'm with you, Jake. Why don't you think so, Jake?
Well, I think because ProPublica is going to start investigating in the Washington Post now.
Well, it's not actually the Post. It's the Wall Street Journal. We were reading coverage from the Post as the Post looked at the, you know, the actual journalism of ProPublica and the unethical response, unethical according to journalistic standards. I mean, you don't scoop another paper and give a guy an op-ed in your paper. Maybe after it's published, you give them a response place.
I mean, that maybe that's how it was back in the good old days, man, but the old world is dead.
There is actually coverage from the, you know, like the journalistic integrity board, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You don't do that. You really don't. I mean, just like there's supposed to be ethics, you're supposed to recuse if some rich guy takes you on a fishing trip to a place yeah. you can't even get into, puts you on a private jet, sticks you in a $673 a night room, and then appears before the court 10 times. Well, the ethics of your profession would suggest you recuse. Much like the ethics of the journalistic profession would suggest the Wall Street Journal would not provide this platform. But what do I know? I'm just a radio guy. You know, right. I just try to be fair out here on the radio, Dom. But what's fair got to do with it? Or love?
What's love got to do with it, Curdy? 844-967-2789. Rico, Rock County, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, loving every minute of it. Listening to you guys on my smartphone here. I got my nice new shiny app. It's cool.
All right.
Cool. Loving it.
Are you texting at us? Were you one of the Alito? Did you give us the answer?
No. I'm not much of a texter. I like to listen.
I mean, Scalia. I still can't keep it straight.
No. I just was wanting to call in because earlier it just... You know, I didn't care so much about Dermyport. I just wanted to see how CJ was going to react.
Badly.
Curdy, yeah, I like the way you handled that, but I do give you kudos. You knocked it out of the park. I was just like waiting for the bite, right? No, I do want to give mention to Earl this morning because he took an opposite approach, gave CJ all the rope in the world that he needed. And, you know, his true colors came out and kind of reminded me why we voted him D-bag of the year, because his true colors came out today. My boy CJ, take it from Rico, you're nothing more than a racist and a bigot, and it was clear today. For those of you who haven't heard it, go listen. And those of you who haven't heard it yet, go listen. And those of you who did hear it know exactly what I mean. That's all I got to say, guys. It's pretty simple. It doesn't take much of investigation.
Well, thanks, more Rico. Effort than many of these Republicans are willing to put forth.
More effort than John Durham put on the Durham report.
Or doing the research or reading the paper or maybe the Mueller report. Hey, CJ, I know you were invoked, but we're still not taking your calls. 844-967-2789. Tom from McFarland. Welcome back. Tom, what do you got for us?
Hello, Tom.
Well, you know, this whole thing with the Supreme Court, I don't understand why the Democrats are putting up with this and not making this a campaign issue. The Constitution is clear that Congress gets to decide what the court looks like, including qualifications, et cetera, et cetera. The Supreme Court has ruled repeatedly that they just cannot police themselves. They do not want to police themselves. In fact, Roberts has said we don't need to have a quote-unquote ethics boundary. We're good as things are. And it's things like this that demonstrate that that is not the case. I think that it's time that Congress steps in and tell the Supreme Court, no, you're going to have some boundaries. You're going to have some limits. And you might not like it, but guess what? The Constitution, which Republicans are all about, says we get to tell you what it is that you can do and what it is that you can't do. Serving on the court is a privilege. It shouldn't be this. We're basically not a form of government where judges are the supreme law. It doesn't work that way. It's the Constitution that's the supreme law. And I think it's time the Democrats start doing something about that.
Well, Tom, then we need legislative majorities that could actually cast change upon it. We've got to, you know, overcome the cinemas and the Joe Manchin. Hell, Joe Manchin might go run for president third party just to what? Screw up the country and re-elect Donald Trump? Thank you all for listening. I'll end on that shining, happy summer
thanks, <Rudy. laughs>
note. Joe Manchin could destroy our planet
but today's the first day of summer. Happy summer, everybody.
At least we got this last summer to enjoy. stick around. Maggie Dodd, we welcome her back and the Empowered Caregivers at 7.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
That was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the...